Welcome in, everybody, to this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Locked On the Mock, episode 4, with your host, Louis DiBiase, alongside, as always, Gino Camilleri on this Friday edition of the show. Took a couple day hiatus, although yesterday, well, technically we did record a podcast, but had the file lost, so that was pretty frustrating.
Yeah, Lou took an L on that one.
Big L.
That's unfortunate.
Let's just say Will Kane was talking over our show the entire time. We were recording in a radio station and ended up having to not take out the Will Kane Show part of the recording. It was just a frustrating process, but we're back on today's edition of the show. Happy to be back talking draft, you know, free agency over the month of March really kind of kept us busy with the podcast, as the Eagles were really busy adding so many different pieces. And now, though, we are officially from yesterday, Gino, 3 weeks away from the NFL draft.
Sure.
And look, we did your first Locked on the Mock with Jeffrey Simmons in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Then he tore his ACL. We got Josh Jacobs in the second one, then Christian Wilkins. So we've had some different picks in the first round. I really like the drafts we've done so far, but now we talked about it over the past couple shows. Now we head into this Locked on the Mock episode 4, and we can really do way more than what we could have maybe in the last ones, because before, like, they needed a defensive tackle,
mm-hmm.
right? They needed to add a running back, whereas now it's like we don't really need to add anything immediate for 2019.
Yeah, and it opens up that optionality, like we've mentioned a couple times, and there have been a couple scenarios, the couple mock drafts I've done, that I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I like a couple of these guys. Like, you're sitting there at 25, Nasir Adderley's there. You got a couple other players you could take, but you're like, I missed out on those top-end players, much like the Eagles did in that 2013 draft that we talked about a couple times.
Mm, that's right.
When they were waiting for HaHa Clinton Dix to fall, waiting for Brandon Cooks to fall. The Saints jump up, grab Brandon Cooks. Green Bay takes HaHa Clinton Dix, and they're sitting there, and then they can't really do anything.
At that point, I didn't even know.
Chip guys.
Yeah, and at that point, we were like, what are they even going to do with this pick? It ended up being Marcus Smith, but
mm-hmm.
I just remember thinking when they were on the clock during that draft, and I'm thinking, I mean, who's it going to be? Like, there's no one
on
the board
guys,
that.
Yeah.
Right. So, and they actually were considering, I guess, Jordan Matthews at that pick, but Howie Roseman had to talk Chip Kelly down because I don't think Chip really understood value at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, how he knew he can come back around and get him in the second round. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, absolutely. But
I mean,
you know,
but you could look at last year too with Dallas Goedert. You trade back and you missed out on Sony Michel and a couple other names that were up there. You're sitting there saying, "Hey, we could grab a two next year from Baltimore. Let's take a shot. We know we can get guys in that second round territory." And luckily, this draft, the same thing, 53 and 57 are prime spots to get picks, but if you're sitting there at 25 and guys like Christian Wilkins fall off the board, you miss out on all the top edges. You miss out on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and you undervalue maybe, say, Nasir Adderley a little bit. Maybe you're willing to take Josh Jacobs, but not at 25. Somebody jumps up, say the Patriots, they want to get there to 25 to maybe take TJ Hockenson if he falls, and they're going to offer you a third or a second, almost like what Baltimore did last time. I could see them trading back, but in the same route, I could see them trading up because, say, hey, Brian Burns, we saw that report from Matt Miller. He said that teams are falling in love with Dexter Lawrence, but at the same time, they're falling away from Brian Burns. In my opinion, Brian Burns is a top 10 pick.
I'm
if he's there at 12, 13, and those top teams didn't take him.
Or if Ed Oliver were to
or Ed Oliver, too.
Outside the
you
top
ha-
10, I can't imagine
you
he
have
does,
to be
but
calling. You
right.
have to be.
Yeah, it's really, we talk about trade up versus trade down. We did a podcast on Tuesday last week, actually, we did it where, and you can check that out on LockedOnEagles.com or any podcast platform, where we talked about some candidates for the Eagles to trade up for. And, you know, we talk about they could trade down if it's really just how the board falls,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Early on, if there's just defensive linemen going and
mm-hmm.
offensive linemen,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough for the Eagles to really have someone land at 25 if it's not, you know, Josh Jacobs could be the nice consolation prize
mm-hmm.
there, but let's say he does go right in front of them, much like Dalvin Cook did in 2017 and Sony Michel did last year. It could be Baltimore takes him or Houston or Oakland. At that point, it's like, yeah, let's try to see if maybe the quarterbacks and tight ends didn't go. Let's try to do that Lamar Jackson trade 2.0, or if those quarterbacks go early on, right? If Kyler goes first
absolutely.
Overall, if Dwayne Haskins goes to, let's say, Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
if Daniel Jones or Locke goes to the Giants,
as we can only hope,
right? Or Washington decides
to
take one of those two.
Gil Brandt said that he thinks and he's heard that he expects four quarterbacks to go in the top
25. Which would be ideal for us, because then at that point we can decide, let's try to trade up for a guy like Brian Burns, or hey, there's going to be a bunch of options that fall to us at 25. Yep. We're going to stay at that pick and make a selection, unlike last year where, again, like you said, they didn't have that option because there was no one really. At that point, I think they were really considering Cortland Sutton, and after mm-hmm. that, I don't think they had a lot of guys they really liked there.
Absolutely, and I think 25, too, is like the exact spot where that fall off starts to happen. I mean, you could have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson go 21 to Seattle. You could say, like, your top-end receiver, say DK doesn't even go. Baltimore's picking a receiver, like, 100% of the time. Houston is going to take a tackle. And then Oakland, they could pretty much take anything off the board. At that point, they're wild cards. But, like we said, the two things we need to happen are quarterbacks go early. That's four spots right there.
We need both Iowa tight ends.
And then
the
both Iowa tight ends. Yep, I think that's the ideal spot to take up six picks. Because then you're looking at, we're 25th, so six are taken. You're looking at 18 other picks that
well, it'd be
need
great
to be
too.
Taken.
You know, it'd be great, too, if you know you talk about DK. If a team, I don't know if it's going to be something that's realistic, but if a team like the Jets took him early on or the wild card Raiders
I think
that
that'd
you just
be good
mentioned,
too,
like if DK Metcalf found a way to go in the top five, like Amari Cooper did, you know, mm-hmm. in 2014, and then you had Kevin White go right after. Forgot about Kevin White. But if that's a scenario, too, where DK goes to, you push maybe Josh Allen down just a couple more spots in Quinnen Williams, mm-hmm. then boom, there's maybe one or two more spots that a Cleveland Farrell can fall to you at 25. So excited to get into our mock draft today. So how we're going to do this, as always, on Locked on the Mock. First segment, we're going to go rounds 1 through 3. Eagles have three picks, but mm-hmm. two of them are in the second round. They don't have a pick in the third. That was the Golden Tate trade, but they have picks 25 overall, 53, and 57. And then the second segment will wrap up with rounds 4 through 7, where the Eagles do have a lot of picks. They got 2 fourths. They have 2 sixths. So they got a lot of draft ammo in this one. It's going to be a fun class, whereas, you know, last year was they got a lot of contributors, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Dallas Goedert and Avante Maddox were key pieces to that playoff run down the stretch. But, you know, right after the draft, you didn't really have that buzz because there was only a couple high mm-hmm. picks. You only had Maddox, Goddard, and Josh Sweat in the first three rounds, or first four rounds. So,
yeah, and you knew Sweat wasn't going to really give you much, and
right,
Maddox only really got on the field because of injury, too. And
so at that point, you know, you didn't have the – whereas this year, you're going to have, like, right, three top two round players,
mm-hmm.
and then two more in the fourth.
Yep.
So that's five players in the top four rounds that you're like – man, even if three of them don't pan out, we could mm-hmm. have two real good picks here. So,
and the thing is,
yeah,
they're all
going
to step into rotational roles, too. Like,
that's true.
We talk about the positions that they're going to need at defensive tackle. You just signed Malik Jackson. At the edge, you bring in Vinnie Curry, and you were lucky enough to bring back Brandon Graham. And who knows if Chris Long comes back. At safety, you still have Rodney McLeod. You just signed Sendejo, and you still have Jenkins, of course. You're going to be picking at a position of luxury. Every pick in this draft, to me, is a luxury pick because they have a very complete roster. They're going to continue to have a complete roster and be able to field the team for as long as Wentz is there, because Howie knows how to construct the roster with a good balance of young players. He's getting these comp picks. They're compiling picks for the future, which they're going to have to continue to do moving forward to keep a part of the team cheap, but at the same time sign these veterans that are coming off big contracts like Vinnie Curry, like Malik Jackson, that got all these guaranteed money. Now they want to come to a team where they're going to fit their skill set better, come into a role that they know they're going to contribute, and maybe take less money. Look at Vinnie Curry. He got a boatload of guaranteed money this year. He comes here on a dirt cheap deal this time around.
And he could have took more with the Giants if he decided to go to New York.
And that's
and he came here anyway.
And that's why I trust Howie, and I expect them to nail the first three picks of this class and take some shots in the deeper rounds at developmental pieces that fit the mold and fit positional needs for this team, because like we always say, they're going to be needs a couple years down the road. They may not be needs now, which they filled with free agents and trades, but they're going to be needs in the future. So what better time to bring them in when you have depth, when you have a veteran presence, mm-hmm. and they can be situational role players and learn their role over the next 1, 2, 3 years and step into that starting role come even this year or maybe even next year or the year after that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's great about this draft is they're building for core pieces down the road that mm-hmm. right now are going to be role players. So hopefully there's not the injuries that happen, but we saw last year, we saw the past 2 years, the Eagles were able to still make deep runs, a Super Bowl win, and then a run into the second round, despite injuries, hurting a lot of their core pieces on the roster. So these drafts are going to be huge in continuing to add that depth when you lose players year after year. You don't, they haven't really lost a lot of key players, but they've lost a lot of depth pieces that they need to replenish. So it's kind of the best of both worlds where these guys can be, you know, depth rotational pieces now, and then hopefully they do take over. So let's start it off. Let's get into our mock draft. It's Locked in the Mock, Episode 4. We are starting up here. We're going to get it going on the Draft Network's mock draft machine. First pick was Kyler Murray.
As expected.
Which is, I think, expected. Nick Bosa at 2, so this is where the run on defensive linemen go. Quinnen Williams at 3, Josh Allen at 4.
And this is our worst-case scenario that's playing out right
but
now.
But we do have Haskins going to Jacksonville.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty big. But then, once again, like Rashawn Gary going here at 8 to the Lions. Montez Sweat at 9 to Buffalo. We do get Hockenson off the board to Cincinnati.
Okay.
So that's something
step.
Big. Drew Locke goes to Miami. That's another one. I kind of forget Miami is a high probability candidate for a quarterback in the first
Absolutely,
round. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the only proven player that they have at the quarterback position. So Miami is actually a clear favorite there.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson went, unfortunately.
Yeah, at 12. That's a high. That's, but I can see that, definitely.
Yeah, he's been rising up boards lately.
And Green Bay just continues to invest young pieces into the secondary.
Yeah,
right? I mean,
they're a lot like the Eagles secondary wise. Like they have a lot
Kevin
of
King
youth
a couple
there.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Then they took
Jair and Josh Jackson last year.
Yeah,
correct.
So Ed Oliver here at 14. This is when maybe if I'm the Eagles, I'm trying to think about getting up.
Yeah,
getting
and
up
even Brian Burns
Oliver.
Went at 16. I would be calling right after 12.
Yeah, if I can get maybe, and who knows if Washington they take DK Metcalf, he would be willing to deal, but. And the Giants are here at 17. If I can get somewhere up in this top 15 for a Burns or an Oliver, I'm willing to. What do you think that would cost? I mean, going from 25, like say you're moving up like 10 spots. Is that going to cost you one of your second? It's definitely going to cost one of your second.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah, if not maybe a third next year and a fourth this year.
That's a lot.
I know.
But imagine, though, Ed Oliver on that defensive line.
I know.
That's a lot of capital, though.
It is. I think.
I would be very
from everything we've heard that they say they don't draft better than anybody and they want an abundance of picks. I really can't see them decreasing the amount of picks they have.
I do like that logic, by the way.
Oh,
it
makes
complete sense. They at least recognize that there's no exact science to nailing draft picks, so you might as well have a bunch of them. And that's why they're utilizing that. They're taking advantage of the comp pick formula as well. I really like that quote. I thought that was really encouraging to hear.
I mean, just imagine if you're going fishing. Like, yeah, you can have one pole and catch a fish or two, but if you could have 7 poles or you could have 11 poles, you're going to catch more fish. They may not all be the biggest or the best, but you're going to hit on a couple.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what you have to diversify your portfolio, and that's what they're doing here.
So a couple offensive linemen go off the board at 18, Andre Dillard to Minnesota.
Good.
Cody Ford at 19 to Tennessee.
I like Ford a little more than you do.
Yeah. N'Keal Harry to Pittsburgh. The Eagles met with him this week. Someone that could be a really interesting option to replace either Aguilar or eventually DeSean Jackson or Alshon on the outside. I think he could develop into a really strong wide receiver on the outside, too. Your guy, Nazir Adderley, goes at 21, so the Eagles don't even have that option
here.
That
would be terrible.
Hakeem Butler going at 22 to Baltimore. You mentioned like they need to get Lamar Jackson weapons. They got him a running back in Mark Ingram, but John Brown's in Buffalo now. Crabtree and Willie Snead weren't getting it done last year for him.
Yeah.
That's not his kind of receiver. Hakeem Butler, for a player like Lamar Jackson who dealt with accuracy issues, to get a big frame, big catch radius type of player, I like that for them.
Absolutely.
Garrett Bradbury going at 23 to Houston. You mentioned offensive line.
Yep.
And then right in front of us for 3 years straight, 2017, Minnesota moves up to grab Dalvin in the second round, 2 picks in front of Philadelphia. Last year, and I this hits close to home for me more than maybe a lot of other people, but then Sony Michel goes at 31 last year to New England. In this mock draft, Josh Jacobs goes to Oakland at pick 24.
It's so unfortunate. And I got a feeling that's going to happen, too.
Right?
Got a bad feeling.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of Josh Jacobs to Oakland. And, I mean, they have Antonio Brown, so I'd imagine them not going after Le'Veon Bell might say, I mean, they need a running back.
Yeah, it would complete their offense.
Yeah, so I can see John Gruden going with that. So here are the Eagles' options now. We are on the clock at 25. Noah Fant on the board. We are not going full Iowa of the
It'd
NFL.
Be nice to have a need at tight end, but unfortunately we don't. We have 2 great ones.
Christian Wilkins is still on the board.
I was hoping some Clemson guys would fall.
Would be a big piece up front at defensive tackle. Jonah Williams out of Alabama fell, and I would say they don't have any real immediate needs for 2019, but if there was one position they needed to address sooner than any, I think it's left tackle with Peters' contract, now a one-year deal.
And I think Jonah's a guy that could take over.
Yeah.
I really do. I think this is we should keep our eye on him if another name doesn't pop for us.
Cleveland Farrell's on the board, and that's one of my guys. I just love, I want a passer, because you mentioned it when we were talking about Chase Winovich. The Eagles right now have a lot of pass rushers that high motor, right? Not guys that if you were to build in a lab, that's the kind of pass rusher that would come out, right? Like in basketball all the time, like Giannis Antetokounmpo is literally something like if you were building a basketball player with like physical traits, that's what he would look like. Like Cleveland Farrell would be another guy like Josh Sweat where you just take this raw, just gifted player that has great power, huge length, size that on the outside he can get to the quarterback. Like if you're putting him with Vinny Curry as that other two, you know, rotation at defensive end with Graham and
Josh Sweat down there, and then maybe a 6-1 too. Oh.
Oh my gosh.
So I like the idea that I think Farrell is one of the top five on my board when I get down and write it. I think it falls off after him. I'm not a big fan of Rashawn Gary coming off the edge. I think Farrell.
And I thought Farrell was good against the run, too, and that's something that the Eagles really like in their pass rushers.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see it in the national championship game. That entire defensive line really took over, and I think Farrell is going to be one of those guys.
They have one of the best groups of defensive ends when it comes to the run game. I think Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett, like that's something.
Vinny Curry's probably the weak spot, and he's improved his entire career.
Absolutely.
So it'll be good. I like Farrell here. Like I said, he's in that top tier of defensive ends for me. If you're not going to trade up and get a Brian Burns that fell and Farrell drops to you, which I would be 100% on board with. If you're sitting there, Farrell, Wilkins, and Jonah Williams are three of your options, I think that's an ideal situation. I think those are guys that the entire league is going to be looking at.
This is where you don't move out.
A perfect – say those guys were gone and you're sitting there and Hakeem Butler's there, okay, would you take him? Garrett Bradbury, you don't really have a need on the interior, would be a nice piece, maybe replace Jason Kelce. Maybe you'd be thinking of trading back. But Wilkins, Farrell, and Williams, those are three blue chips. I'm taking one of those three. I love the idea of adding Cleveland Farrell. I think you could get more depth at the defensive tackle position. Edge really falls off after that top tier. I'm on board with Farrell here. Right, I know he's your guy. Yeah. You have no problem clicking the button.
All right, I'm going with Cleveland Farrell as well at pick 25. That would be
Wilkins goes right after.
Yeah, this would be a good ideal way the board falls is if you get Locke to go early on, if you get DK Metcalf and one of the other receivers, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. While I would love to have him or Adderley, if they both can get inside that top 23. That's going to push another couple pass rushers down. If they can get at least Farrell, I think the drop-off is probably Farrell, right? Because then you get to, you know, Ja'Kai Polite. Are you going to take a chance on him at 25?
Christian Miller, rich. Chase Winovich.
Yeah, and that point, I would rather wait and grab that kind of player in the second round at 53 or 57. But Farrell is someone that I would love to grab here at 25. Some other picks here in the first round. Wilkins goes at 26. Noah Fant goes to New England at pick 32. And we're up on the clock again at 53. So to go through the second round, Marquise Brown goes to the Raiders. Chase Winovich goes to the Giants. Jerry Tillery, a guy I really like,
John
versatile
Williams
player in Notre Dame.
Second round, that would be
Daniel
wild.
Jones of Denver seems very John Elway-like,
big,
right?
Big guy, big quarterback, John Elway-type quarterback for sure.
Chris Lindstrom, who I think the Eagles like. He went to Cincinnati.
I wouldn't be opposed to an interior guy. You don't know the status of Kelce, Sayamalu.
Coming off the torn Achilles.
I would replace, Brooks, you don't know his status. I could see it if a Lindstrom dropped to like 53, but I don't think it'll happen.
Another potential left tackle they could go for in the second round, Yanni Kajust goes at 48 to Miami.
That's unfortunate.
I really like Kelvin Harmon. He goes at 50 to Minnesota. Another developmental guy that I think has a lot to work with is Jalen Ferguson. He goes right in front of the Eagles to Pittsburgh.
I'm glad we took Farrell there because you would have been up in the air hoping an unpolished Ferguson really for you.
Now the best options we have on the edge is Christian Miller and Ja'Kai Polite. After that, I think there's a drop-off to Zach Allen.
So let's look. Okay, two positions that I'm very intrigued with right now, safety and
Darnell
defensive
Savage
tackle.
Is on the board.
I
so
like
is
the
Juan
name of
Thornhill.
That. I
so
like
is
Thornhill.
Taylor Rapp. How about interior defensive line? Jeffrey Simmons is there.
Okay.
Charles Menihue,
who's
our guy as well.
Now we're talking.
I said this when we did our ideal top three picks podcast on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I put Josh Jacobs at 25, but I did mention on Twitter after that if it wasn't Josh Jacobs, a Cleveland Farrell, Charles Omenihu, 25 and 53 would be something I would get giddy about.
Absolutely.
But
so,
Simmons here, too, is that's pretty good value. Again, like much like Sidney Jones in 2017, this is a player that's probably, we were talking before the show, he would probably be a top 10 pick if he was healthy.
Oh, yeah. I saw many boards like the day of his pro day when people were talking about him before he tore his ACL that he was in top 5 for many scouts skill position-wise. If you can grab Cleveland Farrell and then come back and a guy with the ability of Jeffrey Simmons is sitting there at 53 when you just added Malik Jackson, you have Fletcher Cox, and you still have a couple other guys in that rotation that you're confident with. Imagine Jeffrey Simmons coming back 9 months after his ACL injury, which is typical, which would be from January to September. Let's be a little pessimistic since we saw what happened to Carson.
Fair.
Let's say he comes back in November. You're sitting there 8 games into the season. Your defensive line is getting a little tired because your cornerbacks aren't getting after it. And you can add somebody with the skill set of Jeffrey Simmons to come in and be a guy that's right next to Fletcher
We've
Cox
come a long
and Malik
way from
Jackson.
Destiny Vile, let me tell you that.
Yeah, yes, sir. You can count me in on that pick any day of the week.
And it's not like corner where you're not rotating corners. Defensive line, like Jim Schwartz likes to rotate these guys through, so you need a bunch of them. That's why I'm not opposed to just continuing to invest in this position, especially when you look at the age of a lot of these guys. Brandon Graham just signed an extension. He's 31. He's still at the top of his ability, but eventually in a couple of years, he's not going to get another contract with the Eagles. Vinny Curry is a short-term, only a one-year contract. I think Chris Long, truthfully, is going to retire when he sees if this kind of draft went where Cleveland Farrell goes and then another defensive line. Like Chris Long's not going to end up coming here and playing, 35% of the snaps maybe?
Yeah,
so
barely.
I think Simmons would be the pick here. I really like Omenihu, but if a guy like if Simmons' ability is there, it'd be hard to pass that up. There's a lot of safety depths still, so if we want to go there at 57.
Yeah, Houston, they solidified their safeties. Yeah. I think you're good. Patriots are up in the air
and we're
about
up
it. And you only
picks.
Have you have 3 picks. And the way I'm thinking right here, Lou, is if Omenihu's on the board, he's a guy, he's a tweener, he's that 3-4 defensive end body type that the Patriots love. Like that longish guy,
could kind of
play a 2-gap system. He would be a guy that could go there to the Patriots. I love Omenihu, but man, Simmons is by far and away skill-wise, without knowing his testing, which we think we would have tested like an athletic freak because he is. Man, run up to the podium if Simmons is there.
We're going with Jeffrey Simmons, so we go back-to-back. Hey, look, Howie Roseman called this a historic class.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the combine, he said he let that one slip out. But he was telling the truth. Like,
that's how.
And I think that was a key part of why he was willing to move back last year is they knew this was coming with the defensive line. They always invest in it, right? I mean, they went Josh Sweat again last year in the fourth round when they didn't really, I guess, quote-unquote, need to add another pass rusher, but they continue to add defensive linemen. So we go with Cleveland Farrell, then Jeffrey Simmons. We are up again here at pick 57. Omenihu was still on the board, but we just went defensive line,
line.
We need to go somewhere else now. We go to safeties. Taylor Rapp did go to Houston at pick 55.
Wow.
We still have Darnell Savage. We got Juan Thornhill and Deontay Thompson.
I think you know who I'm looking at.
So we both are split. I think you like Thornhill more than I do, and I think I like Thompson more than you do. But we can both agree that Savage, I think, is better than both.
Yeah. Like, you know who my guy is. You know I'm a big Nasir Adderley
fan.
Course. I've been falling slowly and hard for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I love him. But Darnell Savage is the bell of the ball for many people around draft Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he is like, Nasir to me and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson are 1A and 1B. Darnell Savage is 2.
I think they're smoother.
Clear cut 2.
I think they're smoother when it comes to fundamental, but like, Savage just flies everywhere.
He would be a guy that would fall in love, would be like the guy, like the Philly guy to come in. Like, he'll lay the body.
Like, just his
style.
He'll
fly around that defense.
Agreed.
He can play the single high, which they definitely need once McLeod is gone. He is a guy that, like I said with Simmons a couple picks ago, you're running to the podium to get Darnell Savage here, too, because there are a lot of teams that are going to be calling. Look at Dallas right now. They still need a safety. Look at the Colts. They could add another one with – they just took Hooker. I mean, even the Chargers
Chiefs,
or
so
the Chiefs.
The Chiefs added the Honey Badger,
yep.
But they lost Eric Berry.
Yeah.
So they could add
There are a lot of teams that need secondary help coming up, and Savage is not staying on the board. I'm surprised he's even at 57 right now. I can't believe Taylor Rapp went ahead of him. I'm not as high on Taylor Rapp as I am Darnell Savage. I'm taking Savage here. If you agree with me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I could see you, if you miss out on one of those, going between Juan Thornhill and Thompson. I wouldn't be opposed to either here.
Just looking around, too, like Paris Campbell still on the board at receiver, Debo Samuel. But I think tackle is the biggest need, quote-unquote, outside of I still want a running back more than anything. But safety, not only do you need the heir apparent to Malcolm Jenkins and Ronnie McLeod, but you still need that third safety.
Definitely.
Because Savage is a huge upgrade.
Let's take a look at tackle, just see if there's any ones that
best
are...
guy is David Edwards.
Yeah.
Michael Dieter.
We had that was that discussion about David Edwards a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we weren't overly in love with him. So Savage here, I think it's great value.
Yeah.
I think you can try and get a developmental tackle later on. Yeah. And running back, there are so many in those later rounds that we can hit. Yeah. Same with receiver.
I do really like Miles Sanders here, but I think Savage is just too good value to pass up. So we're going to go with Darnell Savage. Defense, and more defense.
Count me in.
In this draft, Cleveland Farrell.
And not one cornerback.
Thank God. Cleveland Farrell at 25, Jeffrey Simmons at 53, Darnell Savage at 57.
God, that's just unbelievable. Oh,
that is a lot of young talent.
That's the best start
defense.
We've had so far.
I agree. All right, let's take a break here on Locked on the Mock, Episode 4, part of the Locked on Eagles podcast. We'll be right back for rounds 4 through 7. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked on the Mock, Episode 4. Louis DiBiase alongside, as always, my co-host Gino Camilleri. And so we said it before the break, but we've done four of these now, and I think this is the best we've done for the first two rounds than we've had on any of these episodes.
We've publicly done four. We've probably collectively done behind the scenes like a couple hundred,
yeah, right.
For sure.
Whenever we're bored at work, just
toss it on,
through.
Do a couple, two or three here now and then. And but yeah, Lou, like you said, I think this is just all around this board couldn't have felt any better for us so far. It would have been nice to get one of those top-end tackles, but, man, you can't pass up on Farrell there over Jonah Williams.
Yeah.
I think they would go for that all day long. I still think they trust that Mailata will continue his development. They still like Vitae. I mean, as much as we know what he is, he's still there for a reason.
Right.
As hunger-stricken as the league is for tackles, they could have moved him, I'm sure, for a late-round pick. But if they go and take another tackle, you could start to look elsewhere to trade him. I mean, Bobby Hart, one of the worst tackles I've ever seen, one of the worst football players I've ever seen, just got paid $7 million a year. Right. Vitae could play somewhere.
Yeah, Big V's got more lows than he has highs so far in his career. But for a young player, right, only in his fourth year coming up, that was a starter on a Super Bowl team that won it all, you know, you can see, and there were some bright spots. I thought that NFC Championship game against Minnesota, against Everson Griffin, I actually was pretty impressed by Big V. So, yeah, you're right. If we add another guy in the fourth, maybe fifth, sixth round here with Mailata as well, who they like, and you still have Jason Peters for another year, I could see them maybe making Big V expendable. So we're up on the clock here at pick 127. Mm-hmm. We got two picks in the fourth round, 127 and then 138. We've gone defensive line, we've got our edge rusher of the future. We've got one of our defensive tackles of the future with Farrell and Simmons. We got our third safety, and then eventually he'll take over from McLeod or probably Jenkins with Darnell Savage. So I think our biggest needs right now that we should be looking at are running back, offensive tackle, and I would probably say wide receiver, right? Because no matter what you think about if Aguilar is going to be here beyond 2019, DeSean Jackson is 33 years old when the start of the season happens. Alshon Jeffrey's getting up there, although I still think Alshon's going to be here for a long time. You know, with Aguilar's future up in the air and DeSean's age, like, you're going to want to add another guy. I know you're high on Mac Hollins, but outside of Mac Hollins right now, the only thing we've talked about with Shelton Gibson is that he might have been the snitch when it comes to that Carson Wentz hit piece. So outside of that, they don't have a whole lot to work with when it comes to young weapons. They only really have Aguilar and Goddard, and Goddard's the only guy that's a guarantee past 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I was talking up adding J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the second to be to develop into being that guy, and after running a 4.49 when many people thought he was going to run like a 4.65, it's huge. But I'm totally on board
with Howard keeps going. That's my guy.
He's gone up boards. He's got a lot of visits around the league. He's a guy that's getting a lot of interest. But Lou, you said tackle, running back, wide receiver. If you draft Jeffrey Simmons, it wouldn't even be out of the question to double dip on defensive tackle. I really think after what Howie said, they like to double dip at certain positions. They did it with corner a couple years ago. They did it with wide receiver as well. I wouldn't be opposed to them taking another defensive tackle. So say in this fourth round, like a guy like
Daniel Wise is available.
Daniel Wise, yeah. I was going to say Kalen Saunders. I'm not sure if he went off the board yet there.
I think our boy's gone.
I'm sure he's gone, but yeah. I'm not
Isaiah Bugs, I like, truthfully, out of Alabama, too. I think it's too high of a pick here for Bugs.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you see names like Armon Watts sticking around for a little bit, Kalen Saunders.
I think we can come back around and get Watts.
Andrew DiCecco, our good friend, is a huge Michael Dogby fan. I still think there's value there that they can add guys with an explosive first step that they can put into that rotation. But here, I think there's going to be a lot of value at those three positions that you said.
So let's look at running back. Damian Harris is still there from Alabama. Justice Hill at 95, I think, is very realistic when it comes to that Tariq Cohen of this offense.
Especially after adding Jordan Howard, like a guy that showed his explosion in college and at the combine, tested extremely well.
I really like Devin Singletary, too. He's got a lot of McCoy in him when it comes to, you know, making people miss on that second and third level. So he's available, but then
you're looking at pass catching backs, and it's like, man, there's so many at the back end of this class
James
that you
Williams
can hit on.
From Washington State, who you could maybe get in like the fifth or sixth round, caught 202 balls at Washington
State.
Your
boy Bruce Anderson.
Bruce Anderson.
Our boy Deontay Thompson.
Yeah, a scout actually said that Bruce Anderson's receiving ability is a lot like Alvin Kamara's when he watches the film. Which is like
they compared him
to
Thurman Thomas.
Yeah, that's right. They compared him to Thurman Thomas at the Senior Bowl, too. So, and Darwin Thompson's gotten a lot better in his receiving ability at Utah State. He was dynamic, especially in the screen game. So, you know, they have a lot of options still at running back. Whereas I like Justice Hill, I'm not a huge fan on Damian Harris. Mm-hmm. I do like Devin Singletary, but I don't know. I feel like we could still wait at running back.
I think so, too.
Wide receiver, we got Darius Slayton. Great vertical ability from Auburn. His hands has some drop issues for sure. DeMarcus Lodge out of Ole Miss.
Can do everything, man.
He can do everything. Godwin.
He doesn't have a high ceiling, but he can do a lot of things well.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's going to be consistent for you, for sure.
I'm torn here.
I like Lodge. I think he's a guy that you can develop a lot.
Yeah.
He could be a cheaper Nelson Agholor. Like, he's not going to be as explosive after the catch. Like, that's not the player he is, but he's a guy that can excel in those intermediate areas once things start to open up again from DeSean Jackson and people start putting attention on Alshon.
Got a lot better in the red zone.
He's very good
at
contested catches, too. Yep. You want another guy that you can put into that red zone rotation, another big-bodied wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I like DeMarcus Lodge here. I still think there's guys we could wait on, like Mecole Hardman's of the world.
And we got to consider, too, receiver depth. So we keep talking about for other positions, but receiver, I feel like we only really talk about like who's going to replace somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at last year after week two, right? Mike Wallace breaks his leg in Tampa Bay. And Alshon Jeffrey wasn't back until week four against Tennessee, right? So who
Josh
were we
Perkins
running
with? Is it catching was balls.
Josh Perkins. We were running 13, right? We were running three tight ends, and we brought back Jordan Matthews. We almost brought back Jeremy Maclin, who just retired because he couldn't get his hamstring his hamstring injury right. And I feel like if he was healthy, the Eagles might have brought back Jeremy Maclin. That's how desperate they were at wide receiver. So Lodge also is someone we still don't know what's going on with Mac Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
So Lodge is much needed depth too, because no matter what, 12 personnel is going to be very effective with this Eagles offense. But Doug Peterson's going to be an 11 based head coach when it comes to offensive minds. Right?
For sure.
In the league. That's what it's going to be, I think, with him.
I think
I think a Lodge is a pick that he and the Eagles need to make here.
I think so, too. All and right. I think I talked about doubling up at defensive tackle. There's a lot of receiver depth. Before the season started, people were looking down on this receiver class. I can't tell you the last time I was more excited about a receiver class than I am this year. I think there's just so many different.
Sunk, right? You agree?
Yeah,
I mean,
last
DJ
year's
Moore
was subpar.
Was,
absolutely.
Calvin Ridley, no one got me really excited like this class does, even in the later rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You looked at, I mean, Christian Kirk. There just wasn't a lot of guys last year that I'm like, or even 2016 was pretty bad, too, with Laquon Treadwell and Josh Doctson and Will Fuller. Corey Coleman was the first guy off the board, actually,
yes, sir,
to Cleveland. So we're going to go with DeMarcus Lodge here. I agree. I really like this receiver class as well. You really pick your poison with what you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the vertical, you want the speed, go with a Hollywood Brown, a Paris Campbell, a Mecole Hardman. You want the size? Hakeem Butler, DK Metcalf, Kelvin Harmon. If you want kind of the guy that can do it all, that you can get more with better value, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, right? So
yeah, there's guys from top to bottom that I love throughout this class.
All right, so we're up again here at pick 138, our last pick in round four. We went with wide receiver here, so we finally go offense. At running back, it has not moved. It's all basically the same. I think Justice Hill would be a really popular pick here.
I think so, too.
If he ended up going. So we could go with that. We could talk about what you were mentioning and double down at interior. But you really talked up Armon Watts the other day from Arkansas.
Yeah. And John Ledyard talked about him from the Draft Network, and I watched a little bit of him. And
DeMarcus
he's
Christmas,
got some pop, man.
DeMarcus Christmas from Florida State's still there. He's got a lot of raw pass rush ability, too.
Dogby's still on the board. You can grab him later, too.
Offensive line, Tyler Romer from San Diego State.
Ole Udo.
Ole Udo.
We haven't mentioned him in a couple weeks. The thing is, offensive tackles are always going to get overdrafted. That's the thing.
That's
because
fair.
They might not be the best, but it's such a starved league, and Ole Udo is a brawler.
I like
brawler.
Him higher than their ranking.
I do, too. I do, too. I don't like where the Draft Network has him at 210. I think he's, once you get past those Titus Howards of the world and a couple more developmental guys on the board, that he's like that next tier. Like, he's a guy, he's a perfect day three, big mauling offensive tackle that can develop, that just needs a little bit of coaching.
Can just sit behind Peters and Big V and him and Maialata. You hopefully one of those really high upside tackles become your next guy.
I think so, too. I like Udo here. I like him higher than what they have him ranked.
So we're going with Ole Udo. So we finally, I mean, that's the first time the Eagles take an offensive tackle in the first four rounds since, Lane Johnson?
Yes, sir.
6 years ago?
Yeah.
So they really, and it's crazy because they've had a great offensive line since, but I guess that's why haven't really took one that high, because they just have had the pieces
in place.
They've
had two left tackles since, like, 2002, I think.
Yeah, because, right, they didn't draft Jason Peters.
Yeah, Trey Thomas and Jason Peters.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you're saying, so, oh, you're right. I thought you were talking about drafted.
No, like, in general, like, starting left
That's
tackles.
Nuts.
I mean, Jason Peters has missed games every now and then, but like coming into a season,
right, like
it's
core,
Trey
like,
Thomas.
This is our left tackle they've had two.
Yes.
That's nuts.
Nuts to think about, right?
Yeah, it really is. Compared to like right tackle before Lane Johnson. Remember we were running through the likes of like Winston Justice.
Oh my gosh.
King Dunlap.
King Dunlap is
guys?
I remember 8 years ago at the Bills game. I got down, I was on the Spud Cam, and King Dunlap stood up.
Oh,
I've
God.
Never seen a human being
right?
that big. I was like, we are not the same species. He was an absolute
sometimes they would
mammoth
kick,
of a human.
Sometimes the Eagles and the Chargers did this too. They'd like kick him in at guard. And
yeah.
Like, this dude just
6'9" at guard. It was wild to think about.
King Dunlap. All right. We're up here in the fifth round at pick 163. So we've addressed. I'm really happy with the draft we've done so far. We've gotten a lot of great pieces up front when it comes to defense and offense with Cleveland Farrell, Jeffrey Simmons, and Ole Udo. We get Darnell Savage at safety, DeMarcus Lodge at receiver. The things I'm looking at now would be to double down on interior defensive line. And it's not even just a double down this year. Malik Jackson, 29 years old. Fletcher Cox, 28, 29. I mean, Cox isn't slowing
down.
He's
not going
anywhere. I'm not worried about Fletcher Cox. It's more so about Malik Jackson. When we talk about the rotation and injuries always happen, like having it's only your fourth guy, really, right? Because I like what Trayvon Hester did last year, but I mean, that's not someone you're
graded out really well by PFF.
And he made the game-winning play in the playoff game. He tipped that kick on the double doink, but he's not someone that I'm not going to pick another player for.
Yeah, absolutely. You can upgrade there. I even think if linebacker that I like, Ben Burkhirvin, and I don't know if he's off the board yet.
He's there, out of Washington.
Trey Watson, too, man. He's a guy. Talk about our friend Andrew DiCecco. He's been writing up stuff on Trey Watson for a long time. He followed him through his pro day. He's a guy that when I watched the Shrine game, I saw him a littler linebacker, not the quickest, but he put his body on the line every single play. You talk about a value linebacker, and you talk about how much I despise the linebacking position as a whole. For me to say this about a player and like pound the table for a linebacker is huge. I like Trey Watson. I don't think they're going to go high at linebacker.
And we're in round five at this point, so no, I'm not going to throw up a hissy fit if they go linebacker.
Yeah, no, I think there are three guys like Trey Watson, Ben Burkhirvin, and then who's the one? Bobby Okereke out of Stanford, too, that I would take a shot on any of those three. And I think Watson, you want a physical linebacker that's going to tackle for you, he absolutely can do it. If you want to keep Bradham outside, who did okay in coverage, he's held his own. Watson could be a guy you could toss in the middle and make some tackles for you. I like that pick, but let me know where your head's at with
I like the idea of Watson. I think up front at interior defensive line, There's still a couple names that I think we could wait on. Armand Watts is still on the board. DeMarcus Christmas, those are two players I really like. Chris Slayton, too, is still there. Running back, Rodney Anderson here is a player that if he was healthy, I compared him to – I was watching his film the other day, and I'm like, this guy's like Ryan Matthews. That's the name that kept popping in my head. Super talented player. When he's on the field, he's going to ball out. Like, he's going to produce. But he's – I mean, prepare to have him on the field like 8 times a year.
Yeah, we don't need that after we had Jay Ajayi.
No,
we,
and that's the thing is – I guess the Eagles could afford him more than anybody based on how they rotate through running backs. But Howie clearly, I mean, they do care about health. I mean, they brought in Jordan Howard instead of bringing back Jay Ajayi. And I would think, I would say Jay Ajayi is a better player than Jordan Howard.
Mm-hmm. So, he's a better runner.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, you know, Jordan Scarlett's there. He met with the Eagles out of Florida. I'm not a big fan of him. Neither am I of Karen Higdon.
Look at how many guys that we mentioned way before are still going to be sitting there.
James Williams, Darwin, Bruce are all there. Bryce Love is still on the board. If you wanted to go Thunder and Thunder with Elijah Holyfield, although that, again, would spell a return for Darren Sproles, and I'm not into the idea of him still being the third down back. Because, again, like just you know what's happening. If it's third and six or if it's third and four and Darren Sproles is on the field, like, you're passing the football.
It's an option. Like, he's going to get lined up on the linebacker. Yeah. He's going to play the leverage, and that's what it's going to be.
And he'll beat you most
of
the time.
Oh, yeah, 9 times out of 10.
I just like having – I don't like being that predictable all the time at running back. And I think
when
you run through – and you can still have a committee. I just want guys that are versatile. Because if you have a committee of you're the Thunder, you're the Lightning, you're the – you know, you're the Corey Clement, right? Mm-hmm. You can kind of do everything, but not at a crazy high level.
Yep.
You can still produce. We won a Super Bowl that way, but – you know, it's an advantage if you don't know what's happening on third and four. Like, I can beat you in a linebacker on a wheel route down the field, or I can pound this one up the middle and I can get that first down.
I think
so,
BA could do that too, man. Yeah. Bruce Anderson.
I know, that's the pick, and I'm still waiting on that. I think we can get him with one of our last picks because they have him. To me, he's my RB2. Uh-huh. You know how high I am on him. He's at 211, and we're at pick 163. So I'm going to go with your guy here. Trey Watson.
Yeah,
I really like that one.
A good pick at linebacker.
I've been happy with all our picks so far, and you convinced me on Watson here, and they can use another linebacker. I mean, I'm not worried about the position at all. I like Camus.
Two Maryland guys, bro. We got two Terps here.
Camus is a very underrated coverage linebacker. I really like. Me and you both recommended LJ Fort to be signed by the Eagles in free agency, and then they ended up doing it. A great player on not only defense, but on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he really filled in well for Shazier when he had to retire from the Steelers. So, but, you know, they need depth. They can use another young guy, and Trey Watson here on the fifth round is good value. So we're going to go with Trey Watson. And we've gone a lot of defense here in this one. We took DeMarcus Lodge, and then we took Oli Udoh. So we have a receiver and a tackle. And I think that's fair. Like, I mean, look at how many pass catchers they have already.
I know.
And they brought in Jordan Howard, and – so I know everyone has heard me pounding the table for running back all year, so you're probably listening to this and being like, why are you so calm when it comes to not having a running back right now? And it's because, yeah, I love Josh Jacobs. I'm very high on Miles Sanders and Daryl Henderson. But then there's just a bunch of these guys I've been watching that you can steal in the fifth round that I think could be just as good.
I agree.
So, and that's why I'm okay with this right now. I'm okay with the way it's
Sports
going.
Sports Illustrated today came out and said the Eagles had the 10th best running back situation, which personally I think they can absolutely improve, but that the outside is ranking them at 10. That's a good understanding to have, that they have elements. It may not you don't have a Zeke Elliott.
Well,
you don't
be
have
better
an Allen
than last year. No matter what happens, it's not going to be Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, and that's enough for me.
The thing is, Doug will get the best out of each one of their
skill sets.
And so will
this offensive line.
And like, so will the offensive line, yes. So you bring in a Jordan Howard. Doug is going to draw up plays for him. Like I said that a couple shows ago, Jordan Howard is going to be a guy. He's going to be like LeGarrette Blount was. He's going to get you like those 15, 20-yard runs.
74% conversion rate on third and fourth down and short. Great in short.
More reliable than Josh Adams.
I hope he can break more tackles this year. I think that's something he needs to get better at.
You hope Corey Clement comes back into his own. You bring in another pass-catching back.
I know. I'm so torn on Clement. Like, you look at the Super Bowl, right?
He has
100 receiving yards, and you're thinking, what a find, right? A Super Bowl hero that you got undrafted out of Wisconsin. And then last year, you know, he was dealing with a lot of injuries. And I really did think he was coming into his own right before he did have that injury.
He was getting hot.
He was getting comfortable in both areas again. So Clement's still someone I want as a part of this rotation. But even with Corey, you know, Jordan Howard's a free agent after this year. And he's someone that has a track record that a team you know, could want him in free agency more than the Eagles are willing to pay based on how they've evaluated and addressed running backs. And, yeah, it would get you another comp pick, too. So we're at 197 around 6. This is when I would go with Bruce Anderson.
I think there's
a lot of other guys ahead of him right now. But
walk off with Bruce Anderson.
Yeah, for me, I'm not going to get caught in this groupthink that, like, I don't think Elijah Holyfield's better. I don't think Bryce Love. Devin Ozigbo is still there from Nebraska. Mike Weber, put some respect on his name. Mike Weber out of Ohio State. I actually like. I think he doesn't get enough recognition. The guys up top, I know the Eagles.
I like Ozigbo, but he runs a lot like Jordan Howard. Like,
yeah, and it's like we kind of just got that.
Yeah, I think Bruce Anderson can really give you a lot of elements that you can use in this offense. He's a good receiving guy. It's just because he played the FCS ball, man, and they play some competitive games, and he pops off the tape. Scouts love him. I think if you're sitting there and there's that much love around the league for a guy in
his
sixth round.
There's so much I like about him. His pass protection, he got a lot better at last year. You know, he's not someone that he can make crazy cuts on a dime, but he's not someone that's always looking to bounce things.
Yep.
He's patient where their zone-based run scheme – that's how he utilized it. He was making cuts on the second and third level where he's making linebackers and safeties miss. But if there's a hole, like, he can also just run straight through it. I think he ran, I forget, at his pro day he was running in the 4.52 range,
yep,
which is pretty good speed, and a lot of guys run faster. And there's just so many things that play into a 40-yard dash.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You saw Josh Jacobs. He ran a 4.6 in his first pro day. Then he ends up getting into the 4.5s.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that can happen that doesn't really tell
play
you
speed
about
wise,
speed.
You turn on the tape, you could see
Bruce
Anderson.
Yeah, again, we say it all the time. Let the film tell the story, and then let
And
the,
he's a returner, and I've been on them improving that position,
he,
too.
Big play, actually, when Carson Wentz, his final year in the national championship game, to get North Dakota State the lead, Bruce Anderson, who was a freshman at the time, had the kick return touchdown to get
them
to
the house.
Yeah. It would be super cool if it was a NDSU backfield with Wentz and Anderson.
We're just going to have a player from every Heartland State.
We're just tapping into the market that is the Dakotas with Wentz, with Bruce Anderson, and with Dallas Goedert. It's like, Howie's great at – he's utilizing comp picks now. He's taking advantage of the trade market. He basically started the trade era of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing – the other niche for Howie Roseman is the Dakotas. Kind of wild. So do you agree we're going to go with Bruce Anderson here?
I think so.
All right, we'll get
I think that's
guy.
A great last pick. I think you've addressed a lot of different needs here.
Ooh, this is probably our best one.
Yeah, I agree. The one we did yesterday was good, but I still think we trumped
it
with this
one. And we'll tweet out the one we did yesterday that we lost. There's a mystery locked
mock. We'll let you vote on it.
A mystery locked on the mock that is off floating in space with the Voyager. So we'll never have it, but we did take a picture of the mock draft.
You could have listened to 45 minutes of us talking over ESPN radio.
Yeah,
but
if you like Will Cain,
if
you like a little mix of Will Cain talking about Kevin Durant mixed with some Bruce Anderson talk, that's your podcast. But I think we did just as good today. I thought it was a good rebound. So let's just kind of recap what we did. First round, Cleveland Farrell, pick 25. I'd be drooling at the idea that one. Jeffrey Simmons at 53, incredible value.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Sidney Jones in 2017. And I know some people are going to be like, well, it hasn't really panned out well with Sidney Jones. I think that's an irresponsible take.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be posting this on Lockdown Eagles next week, so stay tuned. But I went through every single snap of Sidney Jones on the field last year, and I think you should be walking away after watching that feeling better than worse. I just after the Dallas game, Sidney Jones kind of took this, and I don't want to get off into a tangent about Sidney Jones, but to me, I think the same logic by going, I don't think it should deter you from going Jeffrey Simmons based on what happened with Sidney Jones.
Yeah, I mean, on the other,
I know the injuries is still a thing.
The other end of the spectrum, look at Jalen Smith. I keep
you.
Saying
yep, good,
that third year, that third year with these injury players, like, give Sidney Jones time. And another thing is, let the corners develop. You can't turn over a position after 2 years that you just invested three picks in the first three rounds over the
and
last two drafts.
You traded
a third to get Darby and Jordan Matthews.
And you spent a fourth-round pick on Maddox, which a fourth-round pick is still someone you hope is a good starter. And Maddox was more than that last year.
I trust those guys.
I do,
the
too.
Way I'm thinking about this corner situation right now, and I'll just wrap it up real quick, is that if you have to continuously overhaul the position and cannot develop young talent, you can't look at the players. You have to start to look at the people that are developing.
And it wouldn't
players.
Make sense. Like, why would you pull the plug after the promise they've shown? Like, I would understand
2 years,
it. Yeah.
Dude. Just relax.
So someone even made the statement that, you know, they still drafted Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown when they had a great secondary. It's like, yeah, but those are all veteran guys. Like, you have invested top four round picks.
Bobby Taylor was out the door.
Yeah, and four guys that are all under the age of 25 that got better when the games meant more, right? They improved more. So what is this logic? And I tweeted this out. What is the logic that there's a bunch of young corners that you took because they showed a lot of promise, right? That you could work with. This could be your new secondary. Howie Roseman's taken more corners than any position since he's been back.
Yep.
Those guys showed the promise that you saw in film. So that's the reason you take a seventh guy? Like, where does it line up?
You take the best player available. But at the time when they took Sidney Jones, at the time when they took Rasul Douglas, at the time when they took Avante Maddox, they were the best player available on their board. There were plenty of other positions that they could have drafted. They could have drafted running backs in that second round.
They took Joe Mixon in the second round.
Could have took Joe Mixon. You could have took a lot of other guys. But the Eagles took their guy. They trust what they have. They trust what they brought into that building. You can say what you want. They have to improve their pass defense. Yes. But give them a chance. They were going up against Michael Thomas. Avante Maddox was going up against Michael Thomas.
They had the Saints
in the playoffs.
The Saints were avoiding Rasul Douglas. They had Michael Thomas lined up purposefully away from Rasul. Like, that's incredible improvement. How do you not get encouraged by that and want to see more of that? And people are saying that, you know, Maddox is the only guy that's under contract. It was ESP that said that only Maddox is under contract until 2020, so therefore they should draft another one. And I was thinking after hearing that, shouldn't you want to evaluate these guys more after that great 2018 to see if you want to sign those guys again? That's why you took them, because they should be. And then Pro Football Focus comes out and says that, you know, they have just a bunch of mediocre, while costly, but, you know, not costly, like great value, but mediocre corners. And yet Pro Football Focus had Rasul Douglas, Cravion LeBlanc, and Ronald Darby all atop the top 40 when it comes to corners. And then they always talk about Avante Maddox. They just wrote an article saying how great Avante Maddox was last year. So the corner wars,
narrative.
Dude, it's such a...
It's an easy narrative.
It's a lazy one to stick with right now for the national media, just saying, I saw Devontae Bosby playing on the field last year in one game that I watched. Yeah. So therefore, DeAndre Baker.
Chandon Sullivan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bosby got a shot, by the way.
He's going back to the Broncos.
Denver, right?
Yep. Yeah. I said him and Greg Ward would probably both get chances out of the AAF.
Cool.
But just a final note on that. It's like, we gave Brandon Graham, who was a quote-unquote bust, two contracts to prove himself.
Nelson Aguilar took 3 years to show that he could be one of the best slot receivers in football.
Why are we writing off these corners who have so much promise?
And you have a ton of them.
Sidney Jones was going to be a top 15 pick if he didn't tear his Achilles. Like, what don't people understand about that?
The Eagles probably would have took him at 14.
100%. 100%. That talent doesn't go away.
And I would
give them time.
And I would understand if it was just one or two guys that you're banking on. But you have six of them. I didn't even want Darby back. And now he's back. That's six guys. So unless you are thinking that five or six of them, like five or all of them, are not going to be part of the plan, then taking one to me is asinine. And I'm going to stick on it that I may be more extreme than some other people about this, but I believe in this core that I just know what I've seen the past couple of years.
100%. You have to shift your focus towards the evaluators at that position if you really think that is the issue.
All right, so let's just again recap before we take a break. We had to get into that because there was a lot of corner talk today.
Definitely.
I felt like we definitely needed to address it. It's definitely a flex that we continue to strive on. It's one of our passions to talk corners.
Oh, breaking. The Cowboys just extended DeMarcus Lawrence. Not great for my prediction
finally,
that he would sign
does something
elsewhere.
Right this year, huh?
Yeah, that's a pretty cheap deal for him, too.
Yeah.
$20 million a year. Continue on, loser.
So we add a pass rusher in round 25 of our own, Cleveland Farrell, Jeffrey Simmons at 53, Darnell Savage at pick 57. In the fourth round, we go with DeMarcus Lodge and Oli Udo, two guys I think could be great pieces moving forward on offense at receiver and left tackle. Trey Watson out of Maryland at linebacker, two Maryland guys, Savage and Watson. And then we wrap up the draft to pick 197 in the sixth round with Bruce Anderson, a player that's been compared to Thurman Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and if you can get him in the sixth round just because basically he played in the FCS, which I think is the only reason he's not getting the hype, then that's incredible value. All right, let's take a final break here on Locked on the Mock. When we come back, we will wrap up the show by just taking a look around the league, seeing what some other platforms have the Eagles taking at pick 25. It's mock draft abundance at this time of year, as again, we are less than 3 weeks away. Yesterday was exactly 3 weeks until round one of the 2019 NFL Draft. This is Locked on Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked on the Mock, episode 4. We wrap up the show here, Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. So just... again, I think this was our best one we've done 100%. So far. We'll take a picture of it. We'll tweet it out. I'm going to tweet out the one we did yesterday as well. We'll put up a poll, see which one you like better. And then it's going to be fun when we do our live show for the draft. We'll gather all the results of all our Locked On mocks, and we'll kind of just put them up and see which ones we like the best. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun to kind of compare, and then when we actually see the draft, maybe see how similar it is or just how different it is. Because, again, everyone feels like they know how the draft's going to fall. Right. And then suddenly, you know, one team does something crazy and it totally spins off the board. But just to wrap up, so on NFL.com, I took a look on the front page of the mock drafts. Three of the four had the Eagles getting Josh Jacobs. And I know it's a lot of groupthink, but Josh Jacobs has been so – There's always that one guy that is linked, like he's mocked to the Eagles the most, right? Mm-hmm. 2015, it was Mariota, even though I don't know how realistic it was. I do think Chip Kelly did offer that haul that people were reporting, like Peter Schrager said. He said he didn't, but 100. I can't wait till the documentary comes out with Chip Kelly.
The 30 for 30.
I'm gonna eat that up. I'm such a nerd for the Chip Kelly years. And then 2016, it was before they traded up for Wentz. It was a mix of like Laremy Tunsil, Paxton Lynch, and Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2017, Barnett was one of them a lot.
Yep.
But it was Sidney Jones before he got hurt.
Then Gary Conley.
And then it was Gerrion Conley out of Ohio State. And then last year, I feel like it was Sony Michel, although the Eagles didn't have a lot of needs last year, so I don't think there was one clear consensus guy. This year, it's Josh Jacobs. The other one at CBS Sports' official mock draft right now, they have Josh Jacobs. Charles Davis has him taking Devin Bush, which is not a favorite of yours,
nope.
I'm sure. And then Brad Kelly, our guy at the Draft Network, and Trevor Sikkema over at the Draft Dudes and the DraftNetwork.com has Chauncey Gardner-Johnson of the Eagles.
Count me in.
I'm a big fan of that pick as well. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. This has been Locked On the Mock Episode 4, which we're going to do this every week again until the Eagles are on the clock. Locked On the Mock Episode 5 will be back next week. So we hope you enjoyed today's edition of the show. To see the results, you can always go to Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, or at Gino_LOE, or LockedOnEagles.com. Thanks for listening. If you want to check out any of our other shows, go to any podcast platform. Just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play Locked On Eagles. So for my co-host, Gino Camilleri, as always, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.